all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Reverend McMillan, Minister Riley, my beautiful wife, and my church family, the part that is here. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and as always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for you are an all-seeing and all-knowing. You have everything under your control. You know what's going to happen before it happens. You know where we will be before we know. Lord, speak. Mm-hmm. Lord, you know what word is needed.
Yes, you do, Father.
You know who needs it, Lord.
Yes.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for someone is in need of a word from you. Open up our hearts and open up our minds, Lord, and open up our ears that we can hear your voice. Speak, Lord, for we call on you. Speak, Lord, for we count on you.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for we know that you will not fail us. Come, Holy Spirit, come, Heavenly Dove, and take charge right now from the pulpit to the pew. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in me. Have your way in this building.
Yes,
have your way in the listeners, Lord God. But speak a word, for we need to hear from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This morning, we'll be coming from Paul's letter to the Colossians. One of the prison epistles. We'll be coming from the second chapter primarily. If you would, those of you who have your Bibles, if you would turn to that second chapter of Colossians. And I'm going to start reading from the first verse. But I'm going to ask you to go back and go all the way through that chapter. At least you may want to go all the way through the whole book. We've been studying it all month, but it's only four chapters in the entire letter, but at least read the second chapter in its fullness. Starting with verse 1, and I'll let you know where I'm going. I may skip around here. Verse 1 starts by saying, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be confident, being knit together in love and unto all riches of a full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Let's skip down to verse 6. And there it says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then I'm going to skip to the 10th verse. And it reads, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And for a topic, we're going to continue on the super thought, the theory of everything. And as a subtopic, we want to use the thought, complete in him. So as a super thought, the theory of everything, and as this subtopic would be complete in him. Now, this letter that Paul wrote, and again, he was in prison when he wrote it. I think it's always important that we think about him being in prison when you're writing to encourage someone when things are not going as the world would see it.
All right.
They wouldn't think it's going too good for you, and it looks like you're struggling through something, but yet Paul was able to write an encouraging letter. Mm-hmm. Now, this letter to the Colossians focuses on the head of the church, which is, of course, Jesus Christ. So Paul's primary purpose in writing this epistle is to demonstrate that Christ is first and foremost in everything. And he should occupy the first place in the life of every Christian. First place over everything. First place he ought to occupy. Our faith in him should result in our love for our brethren and in perfect peace for us. Now, I want you all just to ponder that thought, because perfect peace, not a place that perhaps I would speak for me. Because I know I don't spend as much time in a place called perfect peace as I ought to. Because if we're on this walk, if we are all got our hand in God's hand and following God's promise, then we ought to be existing in a place called perfect peace. There's three things that we're going to glean from this scripture. Perhaps there's three things that, if we don't get it right, that may disturb this perfect peace that we ought to be existing in. Those three things. One of them is we have to be aware. Be aware of all of the false teachings of this world. False teachings. Be aware what you hear in the world, what you hear in church, what you hear everywhere. Be aware of the teachings that you may hear. The second thing is you need to recognize the preeminence of Jesus Christ. If you're not recognizing and seeing that he is everything, if you're not living there and not recognizing that preeminence of Jesus Christ, you might come up short of the peaceful place. And then the third thing is that we need to stand fast in the Lord. We need to learn how, through whatever we have to go through, whatever we may be in the midst of, we need to stand fast in Jesus Christ, no matter what it might look like.
Yes, yes.
God knows what it is, and no matter how difficult it might seem to go through it, God says all you need to do is trust me. Mm-hmm. What you see may not be what you get. So when we look at these warnings against false teaching, if we look at a couple of these verses out of here in chapter 2, verses 4 and 8 read like this. Verse 4 says, "And this I say, lest any man beguile you with enticing words." Verse 8 says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We have to be super, super, super careful what you listen to now and alternate truths. You might hear anybody say anything. You have to even be careful where you're reading now, because you don't know where the reading is coming from. So you have to be super careful. You got to watch everything you do. Make sure you don't get caught going down the wrong track. One of the things I've heard Minister Riley says, one of his favorite stories, that you don't have to worry too much about recognizing the counterfeit if you know what the real thing is. So you see, that's sometimes that way we get off track. So, because too many times we're trying to make sure that that's not counterfeit, that's not counterfeit, that's not counterfeit. Well, you can't look through everything. Just know when you're seeing the real deal, and then you don't have to worry about the rest of it. If it doesn't look like this, if it doesn't feel like this, then it's not real. I don't have to go into it no further. So we have to be aware of false teaching. Paul warned the Colossians, and he warns us as well. That verse one up there says he spoke to those that are Laodicea, but he says, "For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Any of y'all seen Paul?
No.
Then he's talking to us. Then yes. Anybody have not seen my face in the flesh? But Paul warned the Colossians, and he warned us. He said, "You'll hear things," and he said, "People will tell you that God could not come into direct contact with the material world." And so Paul took care to point out that Jesus is God.
That's right.
And that he came in the body of his flesh. He said, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Paul said, "Watch out what they're trying to teach you." He said, "Some would go on that theory and say that since God could not have direct contact with the material world, that God himself did not create the world, but that he worked through lesser spirits or angels." So Paul took the time to clear that up. He said, "I need to show you that Jesus was the creator of the world."
Well,
we need to make sure you get that right. And he went to the Colossians, he said, and you might hear that some would teach that God did not deal directly with man and the material world, but that he dealt with them through a series of mediators. But Paul says, I want to make sure that you understand that Jesus did the work of reconciliation himself. Mm-hmm. Paul said, you might hear that people talk about mediators and that God sent angelic beings of some sort to be the mediator between man and God, but Paul wanted to make sure that they understood that it was Jesus himself that was the mediator.
All right.
Amen.
He said, get it straight. Understand the original, understand what's authentic, and
yes.
Understand who
yes.
Jesus is, and then you won't have to worry about these other things because
right.
Jesus is your everything.
Come on now.
Don't get tangled up with that other stuff. People say, well, after I get this, then I move on to this, but all you need is Jesus. Paul then, the second point that we're making, he wanted to impress the preeminence of Jesus Christ. In that verse 2, he says that their hearts might be confident, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God
mm-hmm.
and of the Father and of Christ.
Yes.
9:4 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes.
And ye are complete
mm-hmm.
in him, which is the head of all principality
right.
and power. Paul, in this second, in this letter from the Colossians, he had talked earlier about mysteries. And the first mystery that Paul had talked about back in chapter 1, he had talked about the mystery of the church as the body of Christ. And see, too many times we hear this and we use it as words, but we don't use it as a reality when we talk about us as being the body of Christ. It's not just a bunch of words, but we are supposed to be the actual body of Christ.
That's right. Come on in.
It's a mystery. And then back in the first chapter, he talked about the indwelling Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Sometime you go through and you may feel like if it's not you, you may encounter somebody that seems that they have no hope. If you have no hope, then you must not have Jesus Christ within, because
well,
he is the hope of glory.
Yes.
It's not just a bunch of words, it's a reality. And he said, but here is the most profound of all of those mysteries.
Yes.
When he said, I want you to have a knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and
yes.
of Christ.
Yes. Yes, sir.
When Paul uses this term, the mystery of God, he's trying to discuss with us the character and the person of God himself. And
mm-hmm.
something that we couldn't possibly know unless God reveals it to us himself.
That's right.
Amen.
says the word Christ is in the same case as mystery. And when I was studying, the notes that I took, it says places it in apposition. And such a simple word, but I had never heard the word ever used. Placed it in apposition. And what in the world is apposition? APPOSITION. Just the only letter different is A, it would have been opposition, which we all know, but apposition. So I had to dig deep and try to understand that word. You can see what the dictionary term, but trying to understand is, it's like calling me Dwayne and pastor and P-pop. It says they're in apposition to each other. So when you read the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Jesus Christ in apposition, is saying God is Jesus and Jesus is God. And it's a mystery. It says, don't try. That's what we do now. We try to separate the Holy Trinity. And we say God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. But they're one. When you read the three, they're in apposition. Hallelujah. The mystery of God. God said, I've got to figure out a way to be able to implant something in my children, some way to show them God's love and to disclose to them who I really am. I need some way to do this. I need to have someone in apposition, though, so someone who is myself.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I hope somebody gets this, because I did. When I went on further, I ran across a quotation from Joyce Myers when she was trying to define who we are as Christians, who we ought to be when we try to be holy, when we call ourselves holy, if we know what it means to be holy. She said, when you think that you holy, a holy person does not receive his qualities and attributes of holiness as things apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you receive him, you obtain those qualities. She says, the holy person is he who has learned the art of receiving Jesus. When you, and it's not something you're going to read about or figure out, it's going to come from you seeking and trying to find God so that he can show you who he really is, so that he can come within you and control and direct you and to make you holy. You can't be holy by following a script.
Amen.
It's too many people running around. That's when you become sanctified, earthly sanctified. When you think you're holier than anybody else in the church, that's when you start this head foolishness. But the only way you can become holy is the Spirit of God within.
That's right.
Scripture says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Complete. Bear with me while I try to pronounce this word. the Greek word for complete, and it's needed today, is plerou. P-L-E-R-O-O. Plerou. Think I got it right. I cheated. Listened to it two or three times this morning. Still probably messed it up. Plerou. It's needed because it defines who we are in Christ. It's when we are made complete, it says to carry into effect, to bring to realization, to fulfill, to cause God's will as made known in the law to be obeyed as it should be. And God's promises given through the prophets to receive fulfillment. So it says, when we are complete, we no longer just run around with lip service talking about obeying God's will. We become God's will. Y'all with me? Complete in Him.
That's
right. Plerou. That their minds, their hearts may be confident, being knit together in love.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
He is preeminent in my life. He should be preeminent in your life. If you are a Christian, He should be preeminent in your life. He should be your everything. He should be your very life. How you walk, how you talk. You know, sometimes we spend so much time trying to act godly.
Well,
talk.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
When we are complete, when we are the Christians that we should be, we will be godly. We won't have to worry about acting godly. The God within will control our walk, will control our talk, will control everything we do.
Amen.
When you find yourself trying to do the right thing, what you ought to recognize from that is, when I'm trying to do the right thing, then apparently God's not in control, because if God was in control, I wouldn't be having this struggle.
Yes, sir.
With Him and me.
That's right.
Paul understood it.
Yes.
Paul understood this struggle of flesh and spirit when we battle back and forth. It's because God's not in control. We're fighting for control.
Yes.
But when you are complete, plerou, when you have let the Spirit of God have control, then you are a different being.
Ah, yes, sir, God.
Come on now.
Preeminent. If you just let go and let God have His way and
say something.
Stop trying to figure it out.
That's right.
When things get tough, those are the ones that you ought to give to God immediately, but those are the ones that we spend all our time because we've got to figure it out and get it in a shape that then we can turn it over to maybe God can finish it now.
All right.
Now that I got it molded and y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But if we can just let go. Don't that sound easy? Just if we could just let go and let God and go find you a peaceful place. Go sit on your back porch somewhere and just find a peaceful place and commune with the birds and just sit there and be at peace and say, God's in control.
That's right.
Is that so hard? How many know that God's in control?
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, indeed.
So why is it that we have so much struggle trying to find that peaceful place just for a moment?
We won't let go.
Do we really think God got it?
Yes, he's got it.
Is that just me? Maybe it's just me that find myself out of my peaceful place and have to force myself to go back and just sit for a few minutes. Talking about y'all with the ones that go out every day, I don't know, with your jobs and 2-3 jobs.
Yes.
Don't have any time to do anything.
Jesus.
Is that right?
True.
I know I'm talking about y'all now. But just to take a moment.
Take a moment.
I can give myself an hour. Let me see if I can give myself an hour and not think about any of that stuff. I challenge you.
All right. 1 hour.
1 hour, 60 minutes.
One hour.
I challenge you, 60 minutes. Just to meditate and find a peaceful place.
No cell phone.
Well, that's out.
All right.
She said no cell phone. I know that's going too far.
Yeah, Lord, we can do it, God.
But if you could take all of your stuff and put it to the side for 1 hour.
1 hour.
Take a walk.
Yes. Yes.
Don't go with anybody, because if you go with somebody, they're going to bring some stuff with them.
Go to the garden of love.
Well, absolutely. 1 hour.
1 hour.
He is preeminent in your life. And then finally, stand fast in the Lord. Can't nobody.
Oh.
I know that's wrong grammar.
That's all right. Keep that to work.
But can't nobody turn me around.
Nobody.
Can't nobody get in between me and my God. I'm going to stand fast in God, knowing that he's got the whole world in his hand and he's got me, if I can just stand fast in him.
Yes, yes.
So when I come back from that hour-long walk that I took, or that hour-long away from the world, I can realize that God's got it, and all I got to do when I go back into this world, all I got to do is make sure that God has got me and I'm standing fast in Him. And so when something goes wrong, you say, oh, God's got it.
Yes, sir. Yeah. He's got it. Yes, sir, right. God. Thank you.
Instead of losing. Because when you come out from being an hour alone with God, you feel energized and ready to take on the world. And the world tries its best in the first 20 minutes to slap the peace right out of you.
All right. Yes, sir, God.
And if we're not careful, we'll let the world do just that. But if you stand fast in the Lord, you say, He who gave me peace a minute ago, where I was sitting and I felt so good. And when I got up, I was energized. And when I took my first step, I felt like I could do anything. I could take on the world.
Yes, sir, God.
But that was 10 minutes ago. Y'all know it. Y'all Christians. Y'all know God. Mm-hmm. Y'all know that He can do
anything.
You know it because you tell other people.
Anything. He can do anything.
He can do anything. He's in control of everything.
He's in control.
Nothing happens that God does not ordain or allow. Y'all know that.
That's right.
Yes.
So stand fast.
Oh, yes, sir, God.
In Him. Be complete in Him. God's in control. Play, Rahu. Just take that word. If nothing else, it's a word that might stick in your head. Play, Rahu. I'm complete in Him. The theory of everything. I'm complete in Him. Do you hear what I'm trying to convey? I'm complete in Him. You can't hurt me. The world can't do me no harm, is the way the songwriter says.
Yes.
I'm complete
in him.
I'm going through changes. My children might be running me up and back, but I'm complete in Him. All I got to do is to go back to Him, and He can re-energize me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Is that right? I'm not telling anybody anything.
Yes,
new.
Yes.
Ain't that the God we know that He?
Yes, God we serve.
But sometimes we don't even have time to go back and spend with God to say, re-energize me.
Yes.
You got to go in with a quick prayer. Let me run back to the back and pray real quick.
Real quick. God, thank you.
Ever heard somebody say, give God some time?
Yes.
All of it's His time.
Yes, His time.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir, God.
The theory of everything. God's got it. Give it to Him. I'm going to challenge everybody. This week, sometime during the week.
Yes.
Spend a little time with God.
Yes.
Put all your other mess away. Mm-hmm. Take a book out there, would you? Take a regular old book, don't you?
No Kindle.
No electronics. Just take your regular old book, one that will allow you to refresh.
I can do that.
And realize who God is. I'm going to leave you with a thought.
It's more than a thought. It's,
I've actually done it here. One of the meetings. We sit here, turn off all of the lights. And the challenge was, I think it was 2 minutes. Was it 2 minutes?
Yes.
2 minutes. To sit here in the dark and think about Jesus. Get everything else out of your head. Forget about work, forget about everything. And open your mind that God can come in. I suggest it. Start saying, just say Jesus, Jesus. Take whatever you want. Just do whatever that requires you to take 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And don't let all those other things crop into your brain. And then I took a poll afterwards.
Yes.
And because we're honest here at CLLC, no one made it. People were at work. They were doing all kinds of stuff. And they admitted, here's where I was. And, here, and, I, was, and I said, 2 minutes. Wonder why we're going through, how this world is so confusing, why we go through so many changes. Mm-hmm. Because we let the world in our head. Instead of spending time with the King of everything.
Yes.
This world belongs to God, and everything and everyone that's in it belongs to God. Just give Him some time. I'll step here another minute or so. I got enough attention right now. It's given us all just a chance now that we spent now maybe 2 minutes and we're all wondering, wow, that's the most time that I've given God in a while. I'm just thinking about Him. He's your everything. He's all that you would ever need. Everything you got, God gave it to you. Everything you are, God made you. And you are complete in Him. Nobody turn you around. Stand fast. When you leave this place, see how long you can hold that peace that you got. Just see how long you can stay right there. God loves you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. Thank you, Lord, for being a resting place. Thank you, Lord, for being where we can find clear thinking and peace of mind and rest when we're weary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us back to remembrance of you by this very table that you lay before us. Thank you, Lord. This we can do in remembrance of you. You who paid the cost for us all.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for being who you are. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus. The mystery. So that we can understand who you really are. We thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
When he calls you.